All right, First Peter, if you go there today. We started a new series last week, and I'm excited about this because I think that if you can get a hold of this at your age, boy, it will produce dividends along the way and of your life. You will see fruit from it, and you will get to know your God better. We've started this series, and we're talking about making the most of the treasure in your hand, but really taking a bird's eye view of the Bible and just learning how to read it. You know, how do you read this book? There are times that it's confusing. There are times that it may even seem, is it contradictory? What's going on here? And so it's important that we sort of get a pre-trip meeting before we dive in, and that really helps us. If you don't have a copy of God's Word this morning, we want to get one in your hand. So if you would just raise your hand, we want to get you a copy of this book that we're talking about and let you have it today. Very good. Get that taken care of. Excellent. All right. So if you were here last week, we started talking about the six possible reasons people don't read the Word of God. And these were just a wide range of things. We talked about maybe some who would say, well, is it relevant for today? Some maybe say, I don't have the ability to understand it. Some say, I don't have time. I'm not sure about what it says. That's the confidence issue. It's not exciting, you know. Somebody else says, I just don't ultimately see the value. And that's really a culmination of all six combined is when somebody speaks like this, they're having a hard time wrapping their minds around what they're holding in their hands and the value there. So that was lesson one. We're going to go forward now and go on to our next area, which will take us here in 1 Peter chapter 2. Just before we get there, though, what we're going to look at today is how does this book specifically benefit me? How does it benefit me? What are the promises that are associated with this book that if I read it, I'm going to see accomplished in my life? And I think that this is on the flip side, helping us understand its value for every Christian. And so we're going to get into that today. You know, when you know the value of something, we know how to interact with it, right? My little girl, Felicity, does not know the value of most things. Therefore, it causes conflict in our home. The boys are going through a last week and a half there, into the Legos, and the Legos are all over their floor, right? And cleaning the room now takes like 3 hours because they're all pieces everywhere. But nonetheless, they make a creation, and you know what happens next. Things that you did to your older sibling when you were much younger, she comes in and wants to pick up these cool creation, and she doesn't know how to handle it. She doesn't know how to interact with it, and therefore it doesn't take long before those things are in pieces. Felicity just is a hands-on experience right now. She wants to get into everything. And so we have within her height, in her range, there is a TV on the second level, and there's a sound bar that sits right under the TV. On the, it's not a dresser, but it's, what would we call that? TV stand. It's got drawers. Anyway, all right, a little slow today. Anyway, the sound bar is there, and she can reach it, and she just loves the sensation when she pushes in the speakers. The squishy part. You guys know what I'm talking about? That little bubble on the speaker that, okay, that ruins it. Okay, she loves that. But she has no concept of the value, right? And therefore, she doesn't know how to interact with it. Okay? So oftentimes, that can be our struggle when it comes to the Word of God. We don't see the value, so therefore, we don't know how to interact with it, or we go to an extreme where we're not interacting with it at all. We want to change that. Okay, that's what this series is all about. This is helping us see the value, the importance, and helping us better understand the book that God has gone through great lengths to preserve specifically for us. Okay, so we're looking at that today, asking the question, how does this book benefit me? So let's look at the first thing here, and that's where we come to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. And we see this, that growth, this book benefits me because it is essential to my growth. Bible study is essential to growth, me as a person. Notice 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, maybe a familiar verse for some of you, but nonetheless, it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Now, there's two things happening in this verse. Okay, one of those things has to do with appetite. Now, it's using a baby here as an example and to draw in comparison between you and I as Christians. But it doesn't take rocket science to know that a baby has a strong desire for milk. Maybe you've seen this in a younger sibling or a cousin or something like that. Babies get excited about milk. Felicity is kind of coming out of this stage now, but she was in a stage where every other word was Baba. Okay, that's bottle if you didn't know. And she was just excited about milk. She wanted to, you know, when she goes down for a nap, she wants her Baba. You know, when she's up and about, she wants her Baba. Okay, she just strong desire for milk. You can't separate milk from a baby. And when you do, and if you do, there are great problems for sure. But nonetheless, as a Christian, this should be an appetite or desire that we all have. Psalm 19 and verse 10. I need somebody to go and look that up for me. Psalm 19 and verse 10. Who's going to look that up for me? Yes, Allison's got it. And we'll give her just a second to find it, because we know that she didn't have that marked beforehand. So she's going to read for us Psalm 19 and verse 10. And I want us to listen to these words, okay? So don't be distracted. Don't put your brain in neutral. Don't start thinking about the pancakes that you should have had this morning. Allison's going to give us a rundown here. Okay, so let's listen to the verse. Go ahead, Allison. So what here is the psalmist talking about? What is to be desired more than gold? What is it? Yes. The word of God, God's word, his law, his commandments, his precepts. Boy, is that the level of appetite that you have and I have for this book? I mean, that's the question today. Okay, we're here in Sunday school. You're not here to just hear me get up here and talk. And just, you know, oh, let's go on to the next thing. No, this is a self-examination time so that when we get to the end of this series, we're able to have a better understanding of where we're at in relation to this book. And so the question is, how's our appetite? Okay, how is our appetite? Our appetite towards the Word of God should be one of longing. But sometimes that's not the case, right? I'd venture to say that there's some people here in this room today that would say, Brother Scott, that's an area I struggle in. I hear what the psalmist is saying about his desire. I hear what the psalmist is saying about his appetite. Oh, how he longs for it and he wants it. But I struggle to have that in my own life. And sometimes a person loses their appetite. And sometimes this is a sign of an underlying issue for sure. You have a person maybe that is not eating. And usually there is a underlying issue in regards to that. And we talked about some of those underlying issues of why sometimes people don't read the Bible as often as they should. One thing that we didn't talk about that is sometimes the case is that a person is living a sinful life, or they're living in contrary to the message of this book. And so they don't have a desire to hear themselves corrected. They don't have a desire to hear the Word of God and what it has to say. And so there's a lot of reasons for that, but a natural reaction for a Christian is that we would desire to know our God and to read this book just as a baby has an appetite for milk. But that's not the only thing. There's an appetite here, but there's also an aim. And we see that aim at the second part of the verse, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. And that's exactly what we're talking about today, right? This book, if we read it, if we apply it, if we seek to understand it, will produce growth in our lives. Peter's telling us that we cannot grow unless we read the Word of God. As we read it, God takes what we are learning and builds us up in Him. I think this is really important for us to understand, and that is that there is no substitute for the Word of God in our lives. There's no substitute. Ladies, sometimes when you're cooking, how many of you like to cook, ladies? You cook? Okay. Sometimes you may be forced to substitute. Okay? And sometimes that doesn't turn out. Sometimes you can do it and it does turn out. But when we're talking about growth, if you want to grow in your walk with the Lord, you have to read the Word of God. There is no substitute. Okay? Now, there are certain things that I like. And I like flowers. Unfortunately, we have a little bit of an issue up here. Does this look healthy? I put it right here. I feel like we need to have a funeral service. I bought this 2.5 weeks ago, and it didn't look like this. Okay, yeah, it was beautiful. It was, had yellow flowers, I think. Was it yellow? And orange. Colorblind. What can I say? Close enough. So anyway, it was beautiful. I mean, it was looking really fantastic. And, it's changed a little since then. Okay. Now, I love sprinkles. Okay. Sprinkles on my ice cream. You're like, well, Brother Scott, where are you going? How many of you like sprinkles on your ice cream? I do. The more sprinkles, the better. Okay, now I don't eat them all. I don't eat it often, but it, nonetheless. Okay, now let's say this was a thriving plant, flower at one time, and it was. But let's say I said, you know what? I love sprinkles, and I bet you that flower does too. And I just came along and betcha that's going to produce some nice growth in that flower. And then, you know, I also like, although haven't played it in a while, I enjoy FIFA soccer. Guys, I enjoy getting into it. PlayStation. And what if I just one day I went over and I just took my little PlayStation disc, FIFA soccer, and just kind of there. Yeah, I bet you that plane will like that too. That's nice. And then I walked into my office and I said, oh, you know what? I have some favorite books in my office. And I went in and I got my favorite book. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to share this. And I go over, you know. Okay, just kind of put my favorite book in that plant right there, okay. And, you know, expected great things, right? This plant, it's going to just love these things. I'm surrounding it with things that I love. And I'm sure this thing is going to blossom into beauty. Okay, now you would say, Scott, that's just insane. That is crazy. Yeah, what am I doing there? Okay, I'm substituting. But it doesn't make sense, right? Now, there's a couple of things flowers need, plants need. And this obviously did not get it, okay? Now, I did not sprinkle it, all right? I did not put my FIFA soccer on here. It died natural causes, okay? So, all that to say, listen, get the point here, okay? You want to grow as a person, okay? You want to grow in your walk with the Lord. You can't do it without reading this. There is no substitute. And although we may not look like it on the outside, but when we stop reading this, our life dries up just like that. Okay? So, the Bible study is essential to growth. We see here in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, there's an appetite, there's an aim that ye may grow thereby. And then on the flip side, there's no limit to the amount of growth that can take place in our lives. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7 talks about the abounding growth that we can experience in the Lord. You know what? There are certain trees, plants, flowers that only get so big, only get so high. Not so in regards to our spiritual growth. The Lord allows us to multiply and to continue our growth in Him. And without the Word of God, that does not happen. But with the Word of God, we see growth. So, Bible study is essential to growth. Notice number two, Bible study is essential to spiritual maturity. Now you say, Brother Scott, wait a second, that sounds an awful lot like growth, right? Well, let's be more specific about it. Hebrews chapter 5, go there. You're not far from it already. Turn back just a few pages. Hebrews chapter 5. Let's read a few verses here, starting with verse 11. Verse 11. Boy, such convicting verses here, but notice what it says. Verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 5, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. Verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even of those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We're looking at here, Bible study is essential to spiritual maturity. So when we're talking about spiritual maturity, I want you to see number one, according to these verses, number one, it's a listening thing. Spiritual maturity is a listening thing. And we see that in verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. So the writer of Hebrews is saying, hey, listen, I want to go next level Christianity with you, but I can't. Okay, because your spiritual maturity is at a place where you are dull of hearing. You're not listening to the instruction that you have. You're not heeding the instruction that you have. There are athletes today who have amazing skill, but they're not teachable. So they never reach next level. You can try to tell them something. You can try to communicate with them. But it's like, I know it. You know, you don't have to tell me that. Okay, I already know how to do this. Okay, now that person obviously has a pride issue. But, you know, there was somebody last to draw comparison to our wheelhouse here. There was a person on the soccer team last year who had a good amount of skill, probably one of the best on our team. And I always appreciated him because he would always come and he would ask me, hey, what can I do better? Hey, what area do I need to improve on? You know, and boy, that type of person, boy, the upside is ceilings wide open for them. Why? Because they are at a place where they're saying, hey, I recognize in order for me to get from here to there, I need to make sure that my ears are wide open. But unfortunately, sometimes for us as Christians, our spiritual maturity level is, I know it all. You know, yeah, I heard that story, you know, when I was 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And I've heard it six times since. Or I already know how to do that. You know, and we get so prideful that we get to a place here where we're not growing, we're not the place that we should be, and much because of the fact that we're closing our ears. And so we can't do that, right? When spiritual maturity is a listening thing. I want you to see that spiritual maturity is also a time thing. Notice what it says here in verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. You'll notice that word time there in verse 12. For the time ye ought to be teachers. Okay? Spiritual maturity takes time. And he's sending a rebuke to these people because there was time given and they were stagnating. Okay? They had not used the time appropriately that they had to grow in the Lord. And that's why I told you already this morning that if you can allow the Word of God to be the foundation of every day, boy, that will serve you so well in the rest of your life. Okay? But sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't allow God's Word to be the foundation of our day. Sometimes we don't have the appetite or the interest, or we don't have the discipline that says, okay, I'm going to read, I'm going to learn, I want to understand. And therefore, we squander our time. He says, you should be at a place where you should be teaching others. Unfortunately, you're not, because you have squandered your time. You know, in relation to this, I think it's important that we remember as well, for those of us who get frustrated at our growth sometimes, or the lack thereof, I think it's important to remember that growth is a process. Okay, nobody ever went to sleep and then woke up a Bible scholar. Okay, nobody ever went to sleep and woke up a mature Christian who rarely sins. Okay, there is a growth process involved here. You know, just as we could look on the physical side. You know, Felicity, I've shared some things with you today, but let me tell you, 3 months ago, she was into a lot more than she is now. Why? Because she is learning. Okay, she's learning what not to touch, what to touch. She's learning the boundaries, so to speak. And we should be too, but sometimes we get impatient with ourselves. Sometimes we say, Lord, why am I not here when I seem like I'm just stuck here? And sometimes we just have to be a little more patient. Now, that doesn't mean we just throw ourselves towards wrongdoing, but it does mean we have a healthy approach which says, hey, you know what? The Lord's patient with me. I need to be patient with myself. And I'm just going to keep going at the process. And that is giving myself to His Word and allowing it to work in my life. So spiritual maturity, it's a listening thing. It's a time thing. And then lastly here, it is an obedience thing. And I think this is huge. You say, Brother Scott, okay, spiritual maturity, all right? If I'm a spiritually mature person, I'm going to be one who listens, okay, or receives the Word of God. I'm going to be one who uses the time that I have wisely. And this third one is key, because I think sometimes we define spiritual maturity in other ways, but obedience. Obedience has a lot to do with it. Listen, spiritual maturity, and I want you to get this. All right, everybody get this, because I think everybody in here has a good amount of Bible knowledge. Okay? But I want you to understand that your Bible knowledge is not the standard for spiritual maturity. Okay? It's obedience. You can have all of the Bible knowledge in the world. Okay? You can memorize big portions of Scripture. But if you cannot, on a daily basis, choose right and do right, I'm sorry, but according to Hebrews, you're not a spiritually mature individual. Okay? Because spiritual maturity is obedience. That's what defines it. And so, as we look at this, Bible study is essential to spiritual maturity, and spiritual maturity is defined by how we listen, how we use our time, and the obedience factor. Let's just see it in the verse there, verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What's happening here is the person that's receiving the word, applying it to their lives, is someone who is using it every day to discern both good and evil. Spiritual maturity is an obedience thing. The mark of spiritual maturity is not how much you know, it's how much you use and obey. All right, we've had our second bell. I've got one more point here, but we'll hit that and then go in another direction next week. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word, and I pray Lord, that you would be with myself and these teenagers as, Lord, we desire to grow in you. Lord, I pray that every single teenager here would not be complacent or satisfied where they are. I pray, Lord, that if there's someone here that is not reading the Word of God at all, and Lord, they're dried up spiritually, in a sense, I pray, Father, that they would have a hunger again for your Word. And Lord, that they would give themselves to it. Father, I pray that you'd be with the spiritual growth of each one of these teenagers. And Lord, may they grow by leaps and bounds this year, but may it be because they've given themselves to your Word. Lord, we love you and ask for your blessing in the service to come. In your name we pray. Amen.